if I give myself the sort of permission and the freedom to pursue my own experiences and do these things, it makes me less jealous of them, even if it's like unrelated. Mm. Like, it might be that they want to do one thing with a partner and I'm holding myself back from seeking a different kind of experience, that by letting myself have my experiences, it makes it easier to let them have theirs.
Mm-hmm. If you're happy with the same old ways of dating,
if you enjoy sucking at communication,
and you have no desire to improve your romantic life, then our podcast might not be for you.
But if you want some out-of-the-box ideas to deepen your current relationships,
broaden your sexual horizons,
develop a better understanding of yourself,
or learn more about non-monogamy,
then you've come to the right place. I'm Jace.
I'm Emily.
And I'm Dedeker.
And this is the Multi-Amory Podcast.
Yeah, just give me a decent living wage and some decent fucking avocado toast, goddammit. False and made a form
myself to fit. On this episode of the Multi-Amory Podcast, we are talking about you. That's right. We're talking about questions from listeners. As you may have heard, we have a phone number now where you can call and leave voicemails for us. And that number is 678-MULTI-05.
Cha-cha-cha.
Cha-cha-cha.
What? I'm so glad that, like, we finally graduated to the great, like, radio tradition of the call-in show.
Yeah, right? I'm excited about it. So we are hoping to do these occasionally.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, you know, just to our listeners, we're not changing our format or, you know, switching to just being a Q&A show, but we did want to just start trying this and to see how it goes.
Yeah, to see how it goes and give people a chance to actually call in with their specific things going on in their lives. And to do that, so if you want to get your question on the air on a future episode of this, you can call that number, 678-MULTI-05. Or on Facebook, if you go to facebook.com/multiamory, you can send us a message on Facebook and choose to send an audio message. So if you're international or just don't like calling people on the phone, you can also leave a voice message through Facebook Messenger, and we can do it that way. So
I'd rather just record myself.
Yeah, are you ready?
Is there really
just
a huge difference?
No, it's the, I don't know. You still do it on your phone either way.
It's just that it feels more millennial. I'm going to come back to my thing of hating on millennials.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Why? We just want a decent living wage. Come on.
Yeah, just give me a decent living wage and some decent fucking avocado toast. God damn it. Okay, sorry.
I had avocado toast this morning.
Oh, I'm jealous.
Oh, that sounds nice.
That sounds real nice.
That's really good. California man, yeah.
It's okay, we're in Hong Kong. We found avocados.
Yeah, we have found avocados here.
They're still green and hard, so who knows what's going to be on the inside or how good they're going to be, but we'll find out.
Well, let me know when you find out. Anyway, shall we?
And with that, let's jump into the first question. Here we go.
Hello, all big fans. I'm just calling because I'm frustrated with a lack of available language. Essentially, I'm somewhat touch-starved at the moment and trying to find ways to ask people to cuddle, not necessarily asking for sex, although if that's on the table, great. But it's difficult, especially as a straight-ish presenting cis guy, and I don't want this to sound like a come-on, and all of the friends that I have broken the touch barrier with are at a minimum 1,000 miles away. So I guess what I'm asking for is if you know any language to that effect, or if you just have general advice, that would be excellent.
So essentially, how does like a cis presenting, straight presenting, male bodied individual ask for touch, ask for cuddles in a way that's not seen as just trying to get to sex? Yeah.
Right. It's not just the sneaky way of getting to sex.
Which is hard because I feel like especially in most women's experience, it is the sneaky way to get to sex.
Well, okay, so
it's like the Netflix and chill?
Yeah, it's the Netflix
maybe?
And chill thing. Like, yeah.
Right. So we were talking about this earlier, and this is something that that both of you guys mentioned was this thing that, like, oh yeah, that definitely sets off those red flags of like, oh, I see, you actually just want sex, but you're being indirect about it.
Mm.
And that didn't occur to me. Because I haven't been on that of side of that situation. Like when guys have approached me about sex, they're pretty direct about it.
Well, that's good.
You know, or women too, I guess they haven't felt quite the need to be as indirect with me. Obviously, culturally, that's kind of the way our gender roles go. I was curious to hear from the two of you what your actual experience with that, like, how has that gone? Like, how does that normally go? Like, what, you know, what he's trying to not be, how does that go down?
It's hard. Like, I feel like I often have my guard up. And, so if I think about when I'm intentionally stepping into a space, like, maybe it's a poly meetup or, like, some kind of sex-positive meetup, like, a space where, in theory, people know about consent, people know about, you know, about non-sexual touch, mm-hmm. people know about all these things, like, these people are woke up to those things, that even in those spaces, I'll still have my guard up because I still get the sense of, like, if I agree to cuddle with someone, they still might think that something more could be attached to that. Or they'll think that this is still, like, just a progressive step leading to, you know, possibly a relationship or sex or whatever it is. I'm happy to say that the times that I have let my guard down, that I have let myself maybe cuddle with someone or just have non-sexual touch with someone, that I have found that my request for it to not go further has been honored and that that's been good. I mean, where I am right now, it's still kind of this slow process of slowly getting used to that. And I feel like that's the hard thing is, like, I feel like most women are just not at all used to that whatsoever.
Well, and yeah, I mean, I tend to always have my guard up when it comes to just men in general or male-bodied people in general. And maybe I shouldn't, but there is, you know, women, I think just being a female-bodied person at all means that you probably should have your guard up with people in general. At least that's kind of how I feel, because we do statistically get, you know, harmed far more than people of male-bodied. So,
well, this is turning into a real bummer.
Well, no, I'm not trying to say that. It's just that, but I think touch is incredibly important. I mean, one of my partners is a cuddlist, so that's very much a thing that they believe in and that they're obviously, you know, sharing with the world. And I think it's important for this person to actually have that as an outlet. I think it definitely is important, but I don't know. I mean, consent, Dedeker, you said it, like, that's the name of the game.
Well, okay, yeah, okay, Jace. Okay, hang on, like, yes, and given that this, like, okay, I'm gonna go on the assumption that this caller, you know, understands and practices good consent and, you know, is kind of part of this community and whatever. So, like, rather than going more into that, assuming that he is those things, you know, how can he get this across to two people that he's interested in? And a thought that I'm having, actually, is that I think where the problem lies is in this idea, or, like, in the thing of saying, I'm looking for a cuddle, and if it's more, then I'm okay with that. That I think that for people that can be interpreted wrong, can be interpreted more of like, I want sex, but I'll take what I can get, or like, I'll take that for now and hopefully turn it into sex later, or those sorts of things. Yeah. And I'm thinking, what about this idea of separating those things? Like, I know it's nice to say, like, yeah, if it organically evolved into that, it'd be cool, but when you start with that, I think that's kind of where the problem lies. And I wonder if, we talked about this before, about the idea of getting your needs met beforehand so that you go into the dating pool not needing anything.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, you know, if you are in an area or can drive to an area that does have actual, like, cuddle parties, or even, a cuddlist, like Emily was talking about, you know, of just getting that need met in a place that's really, truly only that. So, like, no one's thinking that you're going to try to turn it into sex because that's not a thing you can do at that venue, right? And then, in your dating life, you can just go into dating, but you're not kind of needing it to satisfy that urge.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of, like, if I'm outside that space. Because I think that if I'm coming into that space where it's a dedicated, like, cuddle space, it's a cuddle party or a cuddle room or something like that, where I know everyone's on the same page, that I'll feel a lot safer going into that. But if I'm just, like, out and about in the world and someone approaches me, I think for me, what I really value is some specifics. Sometimes even to the point of hyper-specific. So if somebody requests of me, like, hey, I want to sit on the couch with you for 10 minutes and cuddle.
Mm.
And that's it. You know, I'm feeling much more comfortable with that, like, when more of my questions are answered, rather than just, like, hey, let's cuddle, or hey, is it okay if we cuddle?
So you're saying just, like, be as specific as possible?
Yeah. And this is... Yeah, I mean, I like it's that. It's so weird. I hate to confess this, but, like, I've actually heard about this in pickup artist theory, and this is, like, a terrible way to open with this. But it's more about if you're approaching a woman wanting to, like, get her number or get her contact information, putting the time limit on it is actually more effective. So as in, if you go up to somebody and you're like, hey, like, I'm about to leave because my buddy's, like, waiting in the car out there, but I just wanted to say, like, you seem really interesting, you seem really beautiful, I would love to talk to you. Coming into it knowing, like, that, so that the person hearing that knows, like, oh, this is a limited interaction and it's going to end. So as in, like, not this guy's coming up to me and now I have to awkwardly stand through him trying to pick me up and, like, trying to get out of the conversation, like, already knowing, hey, there's an out and this is going to end and then it's going to be over with.
So we're saying manipulate people.
Well,
we'll be good.
Obviously the whole, you know, the standpoint of pickup artists is, like, manipulate people so that we can actually get what we really want, which is the number or what is sex. But obviously in this situation, it's different. It's not like we're going to put this limit on it so that then I can make then it makes it easier for me to get sex. It's we're going to put this limit on it so that someone feels more comfortable and doesn't think that I'm just looking for sex.
Yeah.
I think that, man, that's interesting bringing up the pickup artist thing because it's true that a lot of the stuff that's taught in the whole pickup artist community is kind of about, you know, making people feel safe, making yourself seem more approachable, stuff like that. Mm. And oftentimes, not all the time, but oftentimes kind of with a nefarious purpose behind it, or not even nefarious, because that's implying that,
like, self-serving,
that sex is negative. It's like, no, ideally that's going to be positive for both people, but it's more that it's dishonest. And I think that what this caller is kind of wrestling with is something I've experienced a lot myself, and I've also seen with a lot of other people who are trying to kind of be more open and step out of the normal game of dating, is that in trying to be honest and upfront, it almost ends up coming across as manipulative.
Interesting.
Because it's just saying, hey, these are all the things I'm open to, and truly meaning it honestly, but because that's not the way a lot of people interact, that's why people interpret it as this, like, oh, exactly. You just want sex, but you're trying to, like, make it this...
Like, you're trying to cushion it, or trying to make it seem more appealing to me, or whatever. Right. Yeah.
And I think
this
that's
person is also...
thing.
They're also asking, like... They're saying that the people that would be potentially willing to do this with them, that they're, like, 1,000 miles away, essentially.
Well, yeah, just saying that all their long-distance relationships can't provide them cuddling.
Yeah.
Well, sure, but can't you ask your friends if you need cuddles? Can't you ask, like, a person who's there, maybe in close proximity, that's just a friend, for cuddles? And it doesn't need to be, like, a potentially sexual relationship.
Well, that's the point, though.
Is trying to
communicate to a friend, possibly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Whether he has sexual interest in this person or not, but to be able to ask
for
this touch without it being interpreted in that way.
Mm. Yeah, and I do feel like, as a male person in society, that's a harder thing to ask of your friends.
Yeah, definitely.
At least in my experience.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, yeah.
That's not something I would feel comfortable asking 90% of my friends for.
Yeah,
you know?
I guess you're right.
But I still, I'm going to come back to where I'm coming down on this is separate these requests or these things.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of, and you could use, like, what Dedeker was talking about of kind of, if it's someone that you are already on a date with or someone you're already talking to, try putting the time limit on it. Like, hey, would you be okay to just cuddle for, like, 20 minutes? Mm-hmm. Like, that'd be great. And that's all it is. Or...
Yeah.
You know, or if it's, like, on a dating profile or whatever, if you're just looking for cuddling right now, just put that. Or if you're looking for more than that, then don't kind of put that, well, this or maybe that thing, but just kind of do a one or the other. Or get your cuddling need met at a cuddle party or something, and then do your dating separate from that. And then when you're in person, maybe it will turn into, like, hey, let's just cuddle. We don't even need to have sex with each other, but rather than trying to open with that. That's my advice.
I think it can be important to also see how feasible it is to take the cuddling out of a space where sex could happen. That's why for me, well, that's why for me it was like, come sit with me on the couch and let's cuddle. Or it could be, if you're comfortable with this, like,
then it's,
let's go find
a
couch at a cafe and cuddle. So as in it truly does eliminate the idea of, like, I'm just trying to get you in my bedroom, or I'm just trying to get you on my bed,
mm-hmm.
or I'm just trying to get in your pants. Like,
right.
Sorry, like, I'm just kind of thinking of my own experience, like, putting myself in the shoes of being approached in this way, that these
rather
are the things
that...
Rather
than let's go cuddle in my bedroom.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, totally.
Yeah.
Sure, yeah.
Awesome. Well, I hope that helps, caller.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
For a long time now, we've been fans of AdamandEve.com for getting sex toys or lingerie or accessories, things like that. It's just a fantastic resource with a huge selection. And now, not only do we have a fantastic offer, but we also have a promo code that will work on AdamMale.com and EvesToys.com, which are their sites specifically for LGBTQ audiences. And our code is fantastic. It's 50% off of almost any item in the store and free discreet shipping when you use our code MULTI.
Yes, we love AdamAndEve.com and have for years. They are our oldest and longest sponsor, and they just keep on giving great gifts to us and to our listeners. You can bring more pleasure and satisfaction into your bedroom by going to AdamAndEve.com, AdamMale.com, or EvesToys.com and select any one item. It can be, you know, an adventurous new toy or anything you desire, something fun, something sexy, whatever sounds good.
So just enter offer code MULTI at checkout and you'll get 50% off almost any item plus free shipping. That's MULTI, MULTI, at AdamAndEve.com, AdamMale.com, or EvesToys.com. This is an exclusive offer that is specific to this podcast, and it's better than any offer that is currently available on their site. So again, use code MULTI to get you not just the 50% discount, but also the 100% free shipping. Code MULTI.
All right, let's listen to the next one.
Okay, here we go.
Alrighty.
Hi, Multi-Amory crew. I was calling to talk about couples privilege and having a hard time letting go of it. I'm a 40-year-old woman in Los Angeles, been with my husband for 13 years, and we've been polyamorous for the past 3 years. And I notice that often whenever anything new comes up that we want to do together, sometimes, you know, sex acts, sometimes things like, you know, events that we want to go to, the types of events or something like that, that I want to keep them for just us for a certain amount of time to, like, get used to it before I let go of the idea that maybe he can also participate in these things with somebody else. And wondering if you have any advice on how to let go of that need and desire and work on that. Thanks so much for any advice you have. Bye.
All right.
Hey, I mean, couples privilege is a big one. There's many moving parts
to
it.
Yeah, this is a great one.
Well,
yeah.
It's, I like that this is coming from the point of view of someone who kind of, you know, understands, like, this is something I might be happier if I were able to let go of a little bit more.
Yeah, she's very introspective about it, which is
lovely.
Yeah, very self-aware.
Having the awareness of it in the first place is already so many steps ahead of the game.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, totally.
Absolutely. That's half the battle right there.
Yeah.
So it is, I love this question because of that, because it is coming from that point of view instead of someone else being like, oh, I'm frustrated that my partner always has to prioritize their husband or wife or whatever, which is definitely a question we've gotten before too. So I like that it's from this side of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So who wants to start?
Oh my goodness. I mean, I've definitely been in this situation before.
Yeah.
I think on both sides of it, like, I've definitely been in relationships before where when I was still in my process of kind of deprogramming some more monogamous conditioning, where it was like, well, I'm going to avoid seeking out new experiences with other partners because I'm prioritizing this particular partner to have any kind of new experiences, whether that was a sex act or just an event or even a restaurant or something, you know, things like that. But then I've also been on the other side where I've been with somebody who's been like, well, I want to do that with you, but I haven't done that with my primary partner first, so I need to prioritize that. And that's left me feeling really weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, I've definitely been in that kind of situation too, where, yeah, you're with someone, but they can't do something with you because they have to wait to do it with their partner. And it's especially problematic, I think, when... like when their partner isn't just like, okay, let's do it right now then.
Mm.
Where it's kind of like, you have to do it with me first, but then put no rush on actually doing it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
That can be problematic.
We've been there with that one. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like in this situation, you know, kind of feeling a little bit weird about your partner trying out a new experience with someone else or a new sex act or something with someone else, there can be many different things underneath that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think I always encourage people to just go a little bit deeper. 'Cause it could be something like fear of being left out, just that like, you're going to go do something that's fun and something that I've always wanted to do. And so I just feel left out that you're doing it with someone else. I feel like sometimes the idea of your partner trying something new can be a little scary in the same way that your partner dating someone new can be scary. That it can still hook into these kind of irrational fears of like, what if there's something in this new thing that is just so amazing and awesome that it takes my partner away from me? So I think there can be something to that as well.
I think that she's almost halfway there because she's acknowledging that it's a problem in the first place and that she needs to do something about it. But I agree with you, Dedeker, that she probably needs to look at the underlying issue there and, you know, ask herself, why exactly do I have these feelings? What should I do about them? And then maybe just take the plunge, like, even if it's a little thing initially, just say like, hey, yeah, I am going to go to this restaurant, or say, you know, partner, husband, whomever, you can definitely go to this restaurant or go on this trip or go to this event with someone else and then kind of see how that feels. I think the longer that you do something, the easier it becomes. Mm-hmm. To a certain degree.
Sure, like giving yourself those baby steps toward it.
Yeah, yeah. Sure.
Yeah, well, so something else I want to approach, and obviously, you know, we don't have the caller live on the line right now, so we can't kind of ask more of these questions, but
yeah,
something that's sort of a different approach to it that's come up for me is that I've definitely found that times when I've, you know, wanted to limit what my partner could do, kind of, which is essentially what this is, right? It's like, you know...
Yeah.
I want to be able to have these experiences with them first or have them only with me or whatever it is that, that it's come from myself, like basically from holding myself back from having experiences or from doing things.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's kind of this, like it does a full 360 where it's like, because I think that my partner would feel like, because I feel like if I were my partner, I would feel sort of threatened or left out by them doing this thing without me. So then I assume they're going to feel the same way. So then I stop myself from doing it.
Mm.
And then I get more upset if they want to do it.
Mm.
Like, see what I mean? It kind of goes back around a couple times.
It's like a cyclical thing, yeah.
And I found that definitely there have been a few times in my life where I've come across this. And it's once I had that realization and instead was like, okay, even if it's going to be uncomfortable, or maybe my partner might not love it, if I give myself the sort of permission and the freedom to pursue my own experiences and do these things, it makes me less jealous of them, even if it's like unrelated.
Mm.
Like it might be that they want to do one thing with a partner and I'm holding myself back from seeking a different kind of experience, that by letting myself have my experiences, it makes it easier to let them have theirs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's kind of tied to that idea of, like, that new things are scary. And so if I'm always waiting until I can do it with this safe, long-term partner that I have, I'm holding myself back from it. It could be that, too.
Interesting.
It might not even be out of a fear of hurting them, but even just a fear of, like, doing something new on my own versus having to do it with this partner.
I see.
And the thought that they could have the courage to do it without me is kind of threatening because it's like, oh, God, I'm a coward. I'm the one holding myself back.
Interesting.
Well, you're saying not only give your partner the allowance to do things on their own for the first time, but also do it yourself.
Like give yourself the allowance to also explore.
Yeah, give yourself the allowance.
Right, okay. And kind of push yourself into
that's great.
Some experiences that you didn't think you were allowed to have before.
Hmm.
At least that's what it was for me, and I don't know for sure that that's what's happening here, but it's definitely something worth trying, because
yeah.
it made a huge difference
that,
for me.
They may be putting that kind of barrier on themselves as well,
mm-hmm.
if they're
mm-hmm.
thinking that their partner will react in a certain way, or that they will,
Or just that something's so scary
themselves.
To do on your own.
Yeah.
That you're holding yourself back from actually like letting go and having new experiences.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think
that's true.
For me, it's been a matter of like if I'm noticing like if I have a partner who goes out and does something when he goes and he does something like learn how to speak the English language. when he goes out and does something and I'm having a hard time with it, especially if it's a new experience or something that I haven't gotten to do yet. Sometimes for me it's just a matter of getting that reassurance from that partner that we can do that too at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And I found in certain relationships, sometimes that's just a matter of time and trust, where maybe sometimes if a partner goes out and has this crazy wild experience or sexual experience that I wish I could be a part of, that maybe it's like, oh, a little bit of a twinge, but there's still this trust of like, but I know that if I asked, we'd do this too, you know, that I know that this is also available to me, so that way like I'm not getting totally left out, and it's not like my partner's giving something to somebody that he refuses to give to me, things like that. So that's where it lies for me.
I feel like it could also play into a little bit of that kind of the trap of wanting what you don't want, like we talked about
a few episodes ago.
That I might not even, I'm like, maybe I'd like that. I don't know, but my partner's really excited about it. But like, the fact that they would do it without me, it's like, damn it, I'm missing out on this great thing, even though to me it might not be as great as it is to them. Like, that's also been something that has come up for me, for sure, in terms of, like, kind of letting go of, like, you know, I don't even necessarily want that experience like they do.
Well,
and it's that whole thing of allowing autonomy from your partner as well, like saying like we are our own people and we may want different things, and that's okay, because you know, when you become married or when you are in a relationship with someone, you're not just one human being all of a sudden, like, and you're gonna want your own things and have your own decisions. And so I think allowing that in the other person is really important.
I mean, that's a huge, you know, just allowing yourself to develop separate identities is a huge first step for a lot of people when you know, kind of changing the format of their relationship.
For sure.
Well, thank you, caller.
And good job for already being like so aware of
seriously.
What's going on.
Totally. Well done.
All right. Last one.
Should we do number
last
three?
Last caller for this episode. All right. Here we go.
Hi. I just wanted to ask a question. Dealing with my husband and I have been together for 12 years, and we decided that we wanted to open up our relationship, and we've been non-monogamous for about a year now. The problem now is coming in where, and I know you guys don't really like hierarchy and things like that, but the problem is my husband would prefer for things, you know, he would prefer it to just be more of like a very casual, like, hookup, you know, basically keep our relationship intact, not have a lot of emotion or super intense connection, things like that. Whereas I am not really interested in just casual sex. I've had casual sex, and I've enjoyed casual sex, obviously, but it's not something that I want to actively participate in all the time. You know, if I meet somebody at a party and it's, like, chemistry and we hook up, like, that's fine. But what I more am looking for is having a connection with somebody, having a relationship. And so my husband and I definitely communicate and try to work through it, but I'm just wondering if you guys have any ideas on how to get him to maybe understand that I can have a serious connection with somebody else, and it doesn't necessarily lessen the connection that I have with him, because in my eyes it doesn't. You know, I don't feel like me having care for somebody else is going to influence my care for him, and I think he's worried that, you know, I could possibly leave him for somebody else, and then I don't know if he thinks that I would just go off and be monogamous with them, or, you know, I'm not really sure. I mean, I know what his fears are, but I don't really get it, because in my eyes, it's not an issue. But I don't really know how to help him work through that. So if you guys have any suggestions, I would really appreciate it. Thank you.
Wow, I feel like this is a really common situation that comes up a lot.
It's common, but there's not kind of a one size fits all solution for
it. There's never a one size fits all solution for anything.
Yeah, so I don't want to say like, oh, this is a common thing. Whatever, everyone solves this. It's like it's unique and individual for each situation. I feel like what's interesting to me is that a lot of the information that I feel like I would want them to sort of figure out and do some searching to find is actually in this voicemail already. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of this specifically that, well, he wants everything else to be casual and for our relationship to pretty much stay the same, but I'm not interested in casual sex. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, sure, I'm open to it, but that's not really what I want to seek out. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's sort of the key there. And, like, really what it comes down to is just when I hear this message, I go, oh, okay, you both kind of want different things. Mm-hmm. And the problem here
and
is...
And that's okay?
Yeah, and that's okay. I feel like the problem here is in the two sides kind of wanting or feeling some need that both of you have to do the same thing.
I see.
And that's kind of where the problem is. And it's a tricky thing. It plays a little bit into that idea of the wanting what you don't want thing, that he might be more jealous of you having these more intimate, loving relationships, even if that's not something that he's looking for. Or it could, on the other side, be this thing that he thinks casual relationships will be less threatening.
And I think that's the really important key factor here, is that people are often surprised by what actually makes them jealous or what actually is threatening to him. And if there is this underlying fear that, you know, you're going to meet somebody and then you're going to leave him, or if there's this fear that you're going to meet somebody and then you're going to go off and be monogamous with them, that fear is still going to be there regardless of what your external behavior is, you know? So, for instance, even if you decide, like, okay, fine, I'll just have casual sex, I'll just have casual relationships, that fear is still going to be there. And so if you're having casual sex, but he's still finding, like, oh, actually, I'm still afraid that you're going to have casual sex with somebody and then want to run off with them, like, then you're kind of stuck in a corner, because it's like, well, where do we go from here? You know, because the solution that we thought was going to fix this fear didn't actually fix it.
And it becomes just like a band-aid, essentially.
And I can say, and I've been totally guilty of this, because I've made assumptions of partners in the past. Like, I've just made the assumption of, like, oh, well, everyone thinks that casual sex is less threatening than, like, a serious, intense relationship, until I was with a partner where it was the opposite, where he was totally fine with my serious relationships, but hated any time I had casual sex. So the thing is that, like, these fears can be so much more deeply rooted than just, like, what's happening on the surface.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think they can also change over time, too.
Yes.
So I think it's a little bit of a problem when you try to go into saying, like, well, let's structure our relationship in a certain way to preclude certain types of relationships or certain types of activities. Because it kind of is this assumption that, one, that you can control people's emotions, including your own, which is not true.
Yeah.
And then the total second bullshit. Part is that is the solution, and you don't know that. Like, you're putting this Band-Aid on. Mm. You're treating a symptom rather than actually trying to figure out what it is that's causing this fear here, or kind of letting go of it.
Yeah.
It's tough because, you know, a lot of this is work that he needs to do. Mm-hmm. And so it's tricky that for the caller, it's like, well, what can she do? I'm sorry for assuming that she...
Well, the question of what can I do to make him understand? And, like, that's just, like, impossible.
Yeah.
Like, trying to make a human being understand anything is pretty impossible.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like, I don't know, I think awareness is the key here. I know we did talk about the fact that it was like, well, you guys don't have to do everything equally. Like, if he truly wants to seek out casual sex, he can. And you don't want to seek out casual sex, then you don't have to. You can seek out what it is that you actually want. At the same time, should the caller suddenly find, like, oh, hey, actually, I'm really enjoying these casual hookups and it's great, or should the caller's husband fall in love with somebody mm-hmm. in the midst of his casual sex having, because that does happen. And for him to finally be like, oh, I suddenly get how I can be in love with someone, but that doesn't take away from my love for my wife. That sometimes yeah. that can help. But I think just the important thing is that it shouldn't be forced on anybody. That, you know, your husband shouldn't be forcing you to only have casual sex in order to understand what it is that he wants. And you shouldn't ever force your husband to, like, try to seek out a more serious relationship in order to understand what it is that you want.
Yeah, I remember... Oh, sorry, Emily, go ahead.
No, just, I mean, yeah, no one should be forced, but potentially it would help. I mean, that's the thing. I don't know if somebody goes through that experience to a degree, if someone's like, hey, like, maybe don't put a cap on this relationship. Or yeah. maybe
meaning to him,
you can,
to tell him to be more open to
exactly.
letting him go further. I see.
Sure. Like, to just give the option or say, like, look, I want to go into my relationships with the idea that they could become something more, but I want you to know that, like, that's a possibility for you as well. And maybe think about not just putting a cap on this relationship and saying, like, it's only just going to be a casual thing forever and always.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, because again, you know, with you, Jace, the time that I really decided, like, hey, I want to be non-monogamous was when it was my decision. Mm-hmm. And right. I was like, hey, yeah, this is a thing that I want to do.
Yeah.
But also, it took me going for it. And
yeah, and but that's the thing is, like Jace, you couldn't force Emily to find a good date, you know, for her to finally get it. Like,
no, it's true.
She had to kind of find it on her own.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But I agree with you guys that he's got to kind of do the work himself a little bit.
But I think you pointed out something interesting earlier about the way this could possibly backfire if they do decide to kind of impose this agreement of, like, well, we'll only seek out casual relationships.
Yeah, well, the trick here is that, I mean, they said they've been non-monogamous for a year, so I don't know what that exactly means, mm-hmm. how much actual dating they've done or whatever. But it is kind of this thing of, you know, it might be that what he wants are more casual hookups. Like, he would like to have a more fulfilling sex life in that way, of having more different, varied sexual experiences. And what she might want is more, you know, emotional fulfillment, you know, from different types of relationships. And if they go ahead and say, like, okay, well, he wants this, so we're both going to go ahead wanting just that thing, that he might end up finding that she's at least seems to have a lot more available casual sex than he does because of gender. Because of gender in our society, right? There's definitely part of it's real, but also part of it is our perception on top of it. But it's going to seem like she could get casual sex anytime she wants, whenever. And that for him, that might be a lot more challenging. And then you end up in this situation where he might be like, I really want to have more casual sex. And now I've set up a situation where she's getting the thing that I want, and I'm still not getting it.
Interesting.
So that's just something to be aware of, that could actually backfire and cause kind of more of a jealousy or more of a problem. And then since you came into it with this idea of, if we're both only seeking this casual thing, that's going to solve this problem of feeling jealousy. And then when it doesn't, you know, this could backfire and be like, oh, well, the whole thing doesn't work. Because you tried to structure it in a way to really limit it. And the other thing I wanted to mention is just one of my first times I'd ever heard about non-monogamy was on two separate episodes of a different podcast years and years and years ago, where the host had this guy on who was in a non-monogamous relationship, and then in another episode had his wife on. And both of them talked about their experiences with it. And one of the things that came up was the fact that the man in the relationship did tend to have more relationships at one time that were all a little more casual. Whereas the wife, in that instance, tended to have these longer relationships, but fewer of them. Mm-hmm. You know, kind of longer, more committed relationships. And that for them, that's just... They were able to acknowledge the fact that they both wanted different things and they both sought out different things, and that's just how they did it. Rather than thinking of it as an imbalance, it was just, hey, we're each able to get what it is we want.
It goes back to the autonomy thing. It's like, we are different people, we are our own person, and so we're going to have different needs.
Yeah,
I mean,
definitely.
That's why, isn't that one of the reasons why we get into this in the first place? Because we have a multitude of needs, and they're going to be different from your partner's.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Well, I think that this is one that's going to involve a lot more communication.
Yeah, always.
Between these people.
Yeah, always.
But I think there is a certain... Maybe this is sort of a weird analogy, but once I went to this meditation class with Dedeker, and the teacher of the class was talking about quitting smoking. And she was talking about people coming to her saying, I want to quit smoking. Do you have techniques for like how I could do that or like things that could help me to quit smoking? And her answer was, oh, well, you should just stop smoking.
Well, no, it was specifically her answer is like, you should stop putting cigarettes in your mouth.
Well, okay, she maybe said that another time. You've been to more classes than
I have. Yeah.
But yeah, it was this idea of just giving yourself permission to actually do the thing.
Mm.
And in this case, to stop doing a thing. But it's just like, why don't you just stop doing that thing instead of like looking for the other thing that will solve letting you do this other thing? You know, instead of like putting more steps in the way, just giving yourself permission to do it.
Mm.
And now, as someone who has wrestled with this issue myself, it's not doesn't always seem so easy to just be like, yeah, just stop. But there is something to it. There is something to empowering yourself and letting yourself do
it. Well, but how would you apply that to this situation, though?
Well, what I mean is kind of that we can try to find different band-aids. We can try to find different ways to talk through some techniques for how to have... you know, how to have emotional loving relationships not feel so threatening to him, or he can just decide, okay, yeah, I'm going to be okay with this now. And it's going to be challenging along the way.
It's kind of a fake it till you make it kind of thing. But I know I've definitely resorted to that in the past of sometimes where I've been like,
oh, yeah.
If I just...
Me too.
If right now I just pretended that I was this like super competent, really fulfilled, really happy, really loving person, I'm just going to pretend. How would I feel about this relationship or this situation? And it can actually really help by leaps and bounds to kind of get me most of the way across the bridge to the other side, as it were.
Yeah. I wrote a blog about this.
Yeah.
It was kind of one of those... Yeah, and I was like, well, I'm just going to decide to be okay with this thing that is irking me right now. And lo and behold, it worked.
Yeah.
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 It really did.
Well, so, my goodness.
Cool. I wish you both the best of luck in that
relationship. Yeah, good luck.
Well, this is great.
All
we
right.
had more questions that we wanted to get to, but we're out of time for today. We're going to hopefully be able to address those voicemails in a later episode.
Absolutely.
If you are interested in having your question or your comment played on the show, then you can call 678-MULTI-05.
You're not going to sing the song?
No, I'm not going to sing the song.
Okay. Or, if sing it.
Or if you're an international listener, you can send a Facebook audio message to Multi Amory. If you're like me and you're freaking terrified of voicemails, you can also email us at info@multiamory.com, or you can send us a message on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. And to support our show and join our private Facebook community, you can go to patreon.com/multiamory.
And also, let us know what you think of this episode format. We are very curious to hear from our listeners. How do you like this? I've loved it. It's gotten us to get into some things that we might not have brought up ourselves on this show.
Yeah.
So I really hope this is something we could do regularly, maybe every month or two. But let us know what you think and how you feel about it. All right, thank you so much. Multi Amory is created and produced by Emily Sotelo Matlack, Dedeker Winston, and me, Jace Lindgren. Our episodes are edited by Mauricio. Our social media wizard is Will McMillan. And our theme song is Forms I Know I Did by Josh Anand from the Fractal Cave EP.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.